Today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Pei Gimel. We left off on daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. Today we are going to finish Hasocher Es Ha'umnin and we are going to start Hasocher Es Ha'poalim. I've got to advertise that. Have a larger crowd, maybe. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara, we left off with a three-way machlokas. If a person is moving barrels from one place to another, whether if he's a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar, if he's going to be Chayiv, so there was a three-way machlokas. Shita number one was Rabbi Meir, who said that whether he's a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar, he could just swear that he wasn't Poshaya. If the barrels broke, he tripped and they broke, he could just swear that he wasn't Poshaya, and then he's going to be off the hook, he's not going to have to pay for them. The second Shita was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, a Shomer Chinam has to swear that he wasn't Poshaya because the Shomer Chinam would only be Chayiv if he's Poshaya, and therefore all he has to do is swear he wasn't Poshaya and he's off the hook. But a Shomer Sachar, even if he's not Poshaya, has to pay for it. Shomer Sachar is Chayiv B'Gnev Aveda also. He's Chayiv in even things that aren't Poshaya. So a Shomer Sachar cannot just swear and get off the hook, he has to pay. And then Rabbi Eliezer said, I think that my Mesorah is like Rabbi Meir, that both the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar could swear and get off the hook, but I don't really understand why. Meaning, I think Rabbi Yehuda has a very strong point as to why in the world should that be the case. But nevertheless, that's the Mesorah. So says the Gemara, first wide line, the Memer, the Savra Meir, Nitkalav Poshayahu. What is this suggesting that a Meir holds that someone who trips is not called the Poshaya? Meaning, obviously, this guy tripped and the wine broke. And yet, we're still saying all he has to do is swear that he wasn't Poshaya, meaning that he wasn't Poshaya in some other way. Obviously, tripping is not a problem. If the fact that he tripped is not going to be a problem, if he's a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar, that's called that he wasn't Poshaya and he's going to be fine. But Vatanya, we have a Braisa, Nishbara Kado Velo Silko, Nafla Gamala Velo Hamida. If a person's vessel breaks and he doesn't move it out of the way, or his camel falls down and he doesn't stand it up to get it out of the way, and then someone goes and trips on it. So Rav Meir Mechayev Bezekan, Rav Meir says that you're chayev for the hezek that they cause. V'chamim Amram, and the Chamim say no, Patim Medine Adam, V'chayev Medine Shemayim. V'kaimelan, and we assume the benit kol poshea pligi. The Gemara Baba Kama in Aminiach Hasakad, in Parak Aminiach Hasakad, Darsh understands that this machlokus is whether nitkal poshea, and that Rav Meir holds that nitkal is poshea, that someone tripping, that's called poshea. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Lazar, so there's going to be two answers to this. One over here and one in the fifth line on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. So let's go answer number one first. So Amar Rav Lazar, Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. In Achinami, the two Shitos of Rav Meir can't possibly fit with each other. In one place, Rav Meir holds Nitkal Poshea, the other one holds Nitkal Av Poshea. So you have to assume it's two different Shitos repeating over the statements of Rav Meir, but in Achinami, it doesn't fit together. Vas Rav Yehuda, the Meir, Shabrachinu, Mishavan, Asachri, Shalem. And then Rabbi Yehuda comes along, he's Shita number two, and he says, no, if you're a Shomer Chinam and you break the barrels, so then you just swear that you aren't Poshaya and you're off the hook. If you're a Shomer Sachar, you have to pay. Haiki dinei, v'haiki dinei. That's the normal halachos of Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. Va'asa Rabbi Eliezer l'meimer, then Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, in Gemara ki Rabbi Meir, our tradition is like Rabbi Meir. But I still really wonder about why both of them could just swear and get off the hook. I understand why a Shomer Chinam could swear. All he has to swear is that he wasn't Poshaya, and it makes sense that as long as he wasn't Poshaya, he's going to be Pater. But why should a Shomer Sachar swear that he wasn't Poshaya and get off the hook? He too, even if he wasn't Poshaya, should still have to pay. Va'afilu Shomer Chinam Nami, and even a Shomer Chinam, well, we're just letting him swear and get off the hook. Ha'teinach b'makom madron. That only makes sense if you're in a place that's on a slant, where you could say that it's karov onas, that it's a kind of accident that's not totally poshea when you trip, because it's not even ground. But if it's flat ground and the guy just trips and drops something, can you really say that that's not poshea? Meaning he's going to swear that it wasn't poshea. What do you mean you tripped on flat ground? Isn't that itself poshea? So even within Rav Meir, even within Rav Yehuda, just the very idea that a Shomer Chinam can swear that he wasn't poshea, the whole situation is a situation of poshea. What do you mean he swears that he wasn't poshea? So va'afil b'makom madronami, and even if it's on uneven ground, this idea of swearing and then not having to pay makes sense if there's no raya, if no one saw and you can't bring edim as to what really happened. have niftar. But you can't just swear if they're edim. We have to bring the edim. We have to go out and find who saw exactly what happened and bring them to Beis Din. And short of that, you can't be pater. So what's this idea that you could just swear and be pater? If nobody saw, then there's a shvua. The implication clearly being hayesh roa. But if someone did see, yavi raya v'yiftar. So then go come bring your raya and you'll be pater. So that's why Reb Elazar is left very uncomfortable with the whole situation. He doesn't understand the whole concept. He says, yes, we have a Masorah that Rameh is correct. Zevezeh Yishaveh, both Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar swear, and then they're going to be Pater. He says, Rabbi Meir's, but on the Shomer Sachar end, it makes very, very little sense why he should swear and be Pater, because Shomer Sachar is not only Chayiv in Pshiyah, he's Chayiv in other things as well. So even if he wasn't Pshiyah, he should be Chayiv. And even on the Shomer Chinam end, so why do we accept a Shavu? First of all, we shouldn't accept a shvua because if it's b'makom madron, then if it's slow b'makom madron, if it's on even ground, he was clearly poshea. So there's no sense in making him take a shvua. He wasn't poshea. We know he was poshea. And even if it's on uneven ground, we would never accept a shvua when there's a possibility that edim saw. So we would need to bring in the edim. That is answer number one as to the stira between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir. Does Rabbi Meir hold nitkal poshea or not? So answer number one was, it's machlokas how Rav Meir learned, and then we just went through all three shittos. The Gemara is now going to give answer number two, and then go through all three shittos again. You'll notice that the way it goes through all three shittos is the same exact. It's just a repetition. It's just a repetition of what we just did, but the answer is slightly different. So answer number two, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shavua zu takanos chachamim hi, meaning this idea that he takes a shavua enochinami. Nitkal Rav Meir holds is poshea. So the guy is poshea. So really, he should not be able to just take a shvua and get off the hook. But this shvua is takanas chachamim. Shemiyat omer keinein lecha adam mabir chavetz lechaveru mimakam lemakam. Because otherwise, you're never going to be able to find people who are willing to schlep your barrels from one place to another. If they know that just tripping once, and that's it, and they're going to be chayiv to pay, so they're not interested in doing it. So they just take a shvua, the chavim made a takana, that they could take a shvua that there was no other pshia other than the tripping, and we're going to let them get off the hook. That's Takanas Chachamim, to allow them to become pater. So, Hechi Mishtava, what Shvua exactly do you take? Meaning, how could you take a Shvua? According to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, that you were Vadai Poshea, so what kind of meaning that tripping is Poshea, so how can you take a Shvua that you weren't Poshea? Meaning, you were Poshea, by definition. Tripping is Poshea. So what kind of Shavua is it? Hechi Mishtava, if you look at Tosos on the bottom of Pei Beis Amin Beis, he says, Meikara Havasi Le Shapir Shnish Poshel Shinim in a minute. That previously, we would understand that the Shavua is very, very easily, just that you didn't do anything unusual. But now that we're saying that even if you didn't do anything unusual, you just walked and tripped, that's called the Poshea. And still you're Pata because of Takanas Chachamim. So in the Chora, if that kind of Pshia, the Takanas Chachamim says you're going to be Pata for, so maybe other kinds of Pshia also you're going to be Pata for. The Mali Pshia Rabba, Mali Pshia Zuta. What difference does it make if it's a big pshia or a little pshia? Well, Mishani, the Gemara is going to answer Shavua Shalom B'Kavana Shavartiyah, that ain't a chinami. That if you had some other kind of pshia, you're also going to be patur. Takanas Chacham is all encompassing. It's not just saying, we let you off the hook for tripping. No, it's saying any kind of major pshia, you're good to go. It's fine. Rashi doesn't seem to understand that way. Rashi seems to understand that, no, the Takanas Chachamim is, if you trip, we're going to say that's a pshia that's not so negligent, and therefore the Takanas Chachamim is going to let you off the hook. But with larger poshea, we're not going to let you off the hook. And the Gemara is still bothered, Hechi Mishtava, how can you swear that you weren't poshea when what you did, in fact, fits the definition of pshia? Okay, two understandings of what the Gemara is asking. With the Nafkamina La'alacha, whether a larger pshia is also included in Takanas Chachamim. So answers the Gemara, Amarava, Shvua Shalom B'Kavana Shvartiyah. You know what you swear? That you didn't break it on purpose. That's all. Even if it was pshia, you're right, you're off the hook. But you just swear that you didn't break it on purpose. Vas Rabbi Yehuda the Meimer, so that was Shitas Rabbi Meir. Vas Rabbi Yehuda the Meimer, Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, Shomer Chinam Yishav Venosu Sachar Yishalim, Haikadinei Vahaikadinei. That a Shomer Chinam swears that he wasn't Poshea, Shomer Sachar pays, And each one is following their normal din. Shomer Chinam is only going to be chayiv in Pshia, so as soon as he swears that he wasn't Pshia, he's good. And the Shomer Sachar is chayiv even when it's not Pshia. Vasra blasra lemeimar in. Gemara k'Rabbi Meir. Umiyu t'miyah aniyah michol mezavizel ishava. And then Rabbi Lazar says, the tradition is like Rabbi Meir, but I really wonder how this can be true. Bishlam Shomer Chinam ishtava shlo pashaba. I understand that a Shomer Chinam is going to swear that he wasn't Pshia. That makes sense to me. El Shomer Sachar amayim ishtava. Why should a Shomer Sachar be allowed to swear even if he wasn't Poshea? He should have to pay. Vafilu Shomer Chinam Nami. And even a Shomer Chinam, Hatenach Machamadron, Shalom Machamadron, Mimati Mishav Shalom Pasha, that makes a lot of sense if there was on slanty ground, but if it was on flat ground, could he swear he wasn't Poshea? Of course it's Pshia. Vafilu Machamadron Nami. And even if it's on slanty ground, that makes sense if there's no one that saw, there's no raya. Hechadika raya, nesi raya v'yiftar. But why should you allow him to take a shvuah if there's a raya? If there's a raya, let him bring a raya and get off the hook that way. D'tani yisi ben yudomer, ein rosh v'os Hashem tia ben shneim. And the implication is, hayesh roa yavi raya v'yiftar. Fine, that's just a total repetition of everything we just saw 10 lines before that. Says the Gemara now, hahu gavra dava kama aver chavisa dechamer bristika demachuza. There was a guy that was transporting a barrel of wine in the town square of Machuza, in a public location in Machuza. V'tavra b'ziza de Machuza, and he broke the barrel accidentally on a beam that was protruding in the market in Machuza. Asal kameh de Rava, so they went to Rava. Amalei ristuka de Machuza shchichi ba'inshi. So he said, ristuka de Machuza, there are a lot of people around in the market of Machuza. Zil aisi raya v'iftar. Go find one of them, and let them, or two of them, let them be made as to what happened, and then you'll be pater. But you can't just take a shvuah if there's a way to be mevarer al pi edim. Some of the Rav Yosef, Perei, Kiman, Ki'isi. So Rav Yosef, Rav's son, says, ooh, who are you going like? You're going like Isi? Are you passing like Isi? I'm like, in Ki'isi. He says, yes, exactly like Isi's drasha. That it's only if there's ein roeh that Shavuos Hashem is bein shneim. Only if there's no one that saw, but if there's someone that saw, so we should follow whoever saw and follow what he says. Usviril and Kavaseim. By the way, we pass like Isi. We hold like Isi. Hahu gavra, another story. Hahu gavra damle lechavrei zil zavonli arba mea doni chamra. A guy says to his friend, go buy me 400 jugs of wine. Azel Zavanle, the guy went and he bought the 400 jugs of wine. Lesof Asel Kameh, he came back. Amale Zvini Lach Abrame Adani Chamra, Utkifalu. He said, I have good news and bad news. Good news is, I bought you your 400 jugs of wine. Bad news is, they all turned to vinegar. They all spoiled. Asel, they all soured. Asel Kameh de Rava, so he didn't believe him. Right, he didn't believe that he had really bought good wine and it had soured. If you look at Rashi, Kala Islahu, Rashi says at the end of that Rashi says, Shema Shalcha Hayu, O Kanisa Chometz B'damim Chusim Lo Etzlecha Hechmitzu. He says he was Choshesh either that the guy never bought the barrels of wine and he just happened to have 400 barrels of vinegar and he figured out there's a good way for me to unload my vinegar and make a lot of money off of it. Or maybe he actually had the chutzpah to take the money and instead of buying wine, bought with some of the money vinegar, because vinegar is a lot cheaper, and pocketed the rest of the money. So that's what he was being accused of. He didn't believe him that he had actually bought the wine and it turned to vinegar. So Amalei, Arba Mea Dani Chamra Tekifi Kala Isla Lemilsa. He says 400 jugs of wine, that would be something everyone would know about. Zil Aisi Raya, meaning when 400 jugs of wine are sold, people know about that. That's a major purchase. So everyone in the town, in the market that day, would have heard about that. So Zil Aisi Raya, the Meikara Ki Mezavanta Luhu Chamra Mal Yahava V'Iftar. Go bring a Raya that when you initially bought it, that it in fact was good wine, and then you'll be off the hook. Amalei Rav Yosef Bray, Kiman, Ki Isi, Rav Yosef says to Rava, oh, you're assuming like Isi? Amalei In, Ki Isi, Yisrael, and Kava say, yes, I'm assuming like Isi, and we in fact paskin like Isi. That again, that only if there's Ein Rala, that's when you take a Shavuah, but if there's someone who saw, you follow the Eden. Iskin Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef Pesichra, Hani de Daru Ba'agra, V'itvar Neshalim Palga. People that schlep a heavy package using some sort of yoke to help them schlep it because it's extremely heavy and then it breaks, they should pay half. My timer, why would they pay half? What's the svara? Not meaning, is it something that they're called poshea for trying to carry? Or is it not called poshea for trying to carry and it was an anus? Which one is it? So if it's poshea, they should pay the whole thing. If it's an anus, they should pay nothing. So where do you get the idea they pay half? It says, nafish lechad v'zuta l'trei. It's something that if two people were to carry it, it would be really light for two people. It's not really the kind of package you would have two people carry, but it's a lot for one person to carry. It's sort of like in this in-between weight range where it's a lot for one person, but not so much for two people to carry. And therefore, karav la'onas for karav la'pshia. It's a little bit like onas, and it's a little bit like pshia. It's onas in the sense that since it's too little for two people, he had a right to give it a shot. And it's pshia in the sense that it's really too big for one person. If you look at Rashi, my time in nafesh l'chad v'lo hayo latino levado, and therefore he shouldn't have carried it on his own. But v'zutu l'trei v'kim deina roi l'shneim asos derech b'nei adam l'schazik l'to'ono ke'echad. People generally will give it that old try, you know, they'll give it their best shot. If they see that it's embarrassing to go and ask somebody else for help on something so small, so they're going to try to give it their best shot on their own. So that's a normal thing for a person to do, and in that sense it's karov le'ones. Bidigla mishalim kula. However, if it's a kind of package that takes like a double yoke, that he's got a... Rashi says something that goes across both shoulders, right? That's going to be a much heavier package. Then he pays for the whole thing. Because something like that, if it's really something that two people should be carrying, and you just decide you want to be Superman, so you don't be Superman at somebody else's cheshbon. You're carrying somebody else's stuff. You have to be cautious, so therefore you're going to have to pay for the entire thing. Rabba Bar Chanan, Tavrele Hanusha Koloi Chavisa Dechamra. There were guys that were carrying barrels of wine for Rabba Bar Chana, and they broke it. Shakal Glimayus, Rabbi Abrachana took in exchange for these movers, he took their cloaks as payment for the barrels of wine. So Asu Amru L'Rav, they went and they told Rav, they said, look, we're out money now. We were trying to do a job, we messed up. And look, Rav Bar Chana took our clothing, and now we don't have anything. So Amalei Avlehu Glimayu. So Rav told Rav Bar Chana, you got to give it back to them. You can't take that stuff from them. So Amalei Rav Bar Chana says, Rav Dina Hachi. Really? Where in Choshev Mishpat does it say that I have to give it back to them? As far as I know, I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to get paid for the damages. They were not as careful as they could have been. So Amalei in, he said, yeah, the din is this way. You're looking in Choshev Mishpat, you're looking in the wrong Chelek of Shulchan Aruch. It's in the fifth Chelek of Shulchan Aruch, this din. L'man Telech B'derech Tovim. That the Pasuk said, L'man Telech B'derech Tovim, that you should try to be above board, you should try to be good, and do the right thing. So it's nothing to do with Choshev Mishpat. You're Rav Bar Chana. You should give it to them. So Yavlu Klimayu, so he gave them back their clothing. So Amr Lehu, Amr Leh, so they figured, might as well push it a little further. So they said, you know what? Look, we're very poor. We worked all day. And yeah, he gave us back our clothing, but he hadn't paid us. And we did a lot of work for him. So granted, we destroyed all of his stuff, but you know, we still didn't get paid. V'kafinan, and we're starving. We have nothing. Samalei, Rav said, Zil havigrayu. Go pay them their wages. Samalei, dina hachi. He said, where are Choshev Mishpat to say that? I have to pay them for work when they totally messed up and they destroyed my stuff? So I'm like, in. Again, you're looking in the wrong Chelek of Shulchan Aruch. It's in the fifth Chelek of Shulchan Aruch. V'archos tzadikim tishmar, that you should guard the paths of the righteous, and you're righteous, you're Rabbi Brachana, and you have to live by a higher standard, and therefore you go and you pay them their wages for that day. We just saw in the Tuesday night show, I just mentioned, I saw in this tshuva from this Rav Spitz, who was asked a shaila, very interesting. He was asked about a yeshiva that was unceremoniously going to fire a principal who had really done nothing wrong other than he wasn't able to do the job, meaning he was really trying his hardest. He was someone who had a fantastic reputation previously, but he had moved to Israel from America, and he couldn't relate to Israeli kids, and he couldn't relate. It just didn't work for him. The kids made fun of him. They made fun of the way he pronounced the Hebrew language, and he was a mockery. He was a joke, and he couldn't get control of the place. So they wanted to fire him 3 months into his two-year contract. And they wanted to know, can they give him a severance package? Now, on the one hand, you say it's the right thing to do, but on the other hand, they said, look, we're dealing with Mammon Hegdish over here. This is when people write a check to the yeshiva, they're writing a check to go toward the education of the children. This isn't going to, this is just giving this guy a severance package, and it's not going to help educate the children one single bit. And we're not, midirei Choshev Mishpat, based on the contract, I guess, they weren't chayiv to do it, but they wanted to know if it was mutter for them to do it. So this Rav Spitz, who's this, we've discussed various tshuvas of his in the past, who's this posek in Yerushalayim, quoted this Gemara, and he said that you see from this Gemara that tzaddikim are supposed to be on a higher level. that tzaddikim are allowed to go beyond the Choshen Mishpat. He said, nowadays we don't necessarily have tzaddikim who are on this level of Rabbi Bar Chana, but our institutions are those tzaddikim. Our institutions of learning and of dissemination of Torah should be completely above board in terms of their financial dealings with other people. So he said, where should we pinch pennies in these institutions? We should shut all the lights off when we leave the room. If someone's going to raise money for an institution, they shouldn't stay in a hotel. If they could stay by somebody's house, they shouldn't fly first class. That's where we pinch the pennies. But we don't pinch the pennies when it comes to when it comes to dealing with other people who have tainas. When it comes to other people who have tainas, then we follow the methodology of Rav in dealing with Rabbi Bar Chana. Just an interesting ha'ara lahalacha that he had. Okay, Hadron Alach, Hasochras Umdan, we are now starting the seventh parak of Maseches Bamatzia, Sochras Apollon. Says Gemara, Mishnah, Sochras Apollon, Varmalam Lahashkim Lahariv. If you hire workers and you demand that they come early and late to work, and stay late, they come early and stay late to work, Makam Shnagim Shlolashkim Shlolaharav Ein Rashi Lechofan. If the minhag of the makom is that people don't come early and stay late, everyone in that town is 9 to 5, right? There are certain cities in America where like everyone has government jobs and it's, you know, it's 9 to 5, no one works late, no one comes early. And other places, nah, in New York, everyone either comes early, stays late, or both. It's just the way it goes. But if it's not the minhag, then you can't be kof for them. Makom shnagu lazim yazim. If the minhag is that you provide food, so then you provide the food. L'safik b'matiki yisafik. If it's not only providing bread and water, but it's providing a little relish, so do that too. Hakol k'minhag medina, everything follows the minhag medina, says Tosfos. Pirish ribish shescharan stama, meaning we're talking about where you hired them and didn't say at the time of hiring what their hours were going to be. Varmalem achar shescharan kevar lahashkim laharev. And after you hire them, you say, you know what? I'm interested in you coming early to work, staying late. Avlim histame yakara kalafi tanao. If you made a tanai at the beginning that I'm hiring you on the tanai that you work, you know, come to work early, so then I don't care what the minhag medina is. When I hired you, I told you up front exactly the hours of this job and that it's going to be a little bit more than normal. And then you're bound by that. That's the tanai of your employment. Story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Manasseh told his son, go hire workers for us. So his son went and agreed to give them food also. When he came back to his father to report that he hired workers, he said, what did you say? Why would you tell them that you're going to give them mazonos? Don't you realize that even if you were to give them the sudas of Shlomo Melch b'shaito, what's b'shaito? Sud of Shlomo Melch, what's b'shaito? So Rashi says, Be'is Malchusa, the Melch v'hedyot haba. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that there was a time after Shlomo Melch took the throne that he eventually became a hedyot again, that he was knocked off of the throne from Ashmedai, whatever, a whole maisa, but he was knocked off of the throne. So b'shaito means when he was at the top of his game, that even if you were to give him a sud of Shlomo Melch when he was king, still it wouldn't be enough. Shein b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, because these people are b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, these are Jews, and they're entitled to everything. They're entitled to be treated like royalty. So how could you promise them that you're going to feed them? It's going to be terrible. We can't afford to do that. Quick, before they start working, you better go and change the conditions. I mean, once they start working, it's over. Then we're bound by the conditions of the agreement. But there's no contract, so before they start working, go and tell them that you're going to change the conditions, that you're only going to give them pasvei kitnis blavad, you can give them bread, you can give them some beans. Right? Rashi explains that in kanel dvarim udvarim ein b'mishum chosrei amana dil mishchoschil lo suchal achzar. Once they start working, so it's no longer just dvarim. Now there was a maisa that concretized the deal. But prior to the maisa being done, it was only words, and words going back on words is not a problem in mechusrei amana. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer lo yitzarich lomer hakol k'minhag hamedina. Rav Shimon says it wasn't necessary to stipulate exactly what kind of food they were going to give, because this is something you don't give them what they're entitled to based on their stature and based on the fact that they're Jews and they're royalty. You give them what the minhag hamedina is to give similar type workers. So that's all that would have been required, is to give them what, anyway, you only would have had to give them bread and beans if that's what the normal minhag is in terms of how we employ workers. So it wouldn't have been a problem anyhow. Okay, says Gemara Pshita. Obviously, it seems obvious that if the minhag hamedina is that people don't work early and come late, that you can't make sudden demands on your workers that they should work early, and they should come to work early and stay late. Right? It seems like you don't need a mission to tell me this. So says Gemara, Lo tzricha detafalu aigrayim. No, the case is that you pay them more than the going rate. You're paying them a high salary. So mal detemar amaluhu detafaylechu aigraychu adai demaktam yisumach shechisu badai. I might have thought that he could say, look, why do you think I'm paying you more? I'm paying you more because I want you to come to work early and I want you to stay late. Kamash malanda amalei. They could therefore say, no. Hai detaftalan adai detafdin lecha vidta shapirta. We thought the reason why you're paying us more money is because we're good. We're really good at what we do. So we thought you're paying for higher quality work, not because you wanted us to work extra hours. Amar Reish Lakish, so Reish Lakish says, Poel b'knisaso mishalau, halacha that a poel, when he goes to work, when he leaves work rather, b'knisaso means b'knisaso li'ir, when he goes back home, it's from his own time, meaning he's got to stay at work until dark and travel home after dark, after the workday is over, b'yitziyaso mishal balabayis. But when he goes to work, he can take that, the commute to work can be cheshbon on the boss's time, that normally the workday is considered to be from morning till night, so the first couple of daylight hours or whatever, however long it takes to get to work, is going to be a part of the commute. He doesn't have to start the commute before it gets light outside. That's how Rashi understands it. If you based on Rashi's pshat, though, it seems very clear that first we're talking about coming home, then we're talking about going to work, which is a little bit strange, right? It seems a little bit backwards. So Tosfos points out, first of all, Tosfos has a couple of issues with Rashi. He says, first of all, if you look in about the tenth skinny line, so he says, V'yafgav de be'ezra k'siv gavi binyin beis hamikdash, show you osin me'alos ha-shachar, by the binyin beis hamikdash in the Ezra, it says that they would start working from alos ha-shachar, so doesn't that imply that they would start working as soon as it got light outside? Not that they would start commuting as soon as it got light outside, but that they would actually start working as soon as it got light. That's for the cover of the Beis HaMikdash, they would start early. But other workers wouldn't be that way. Other workers would only, since the commute is for the tzaruch of the boss also, so they would take that off of the boss's time. He says, and don't be bothered by the fact that we're talking about coming home from work before we talk about going to work, because that's the derech of the Gemara in a lot of places. Exactly like the Gemara in Pesachim says, a person should always enter a city b'chitov when it's light outside, and leave a city when it's light outside. So I mean, when you're taking trips, you should try to travel during daylight hours, not during nighttime hours. But wait a second, do you enter a city first or leave a city first? L'chora, you start off in a city, so you leave first and then you enter. Nevertheless, we say it backwards. That's the derech of the Gemara, and in Erevin also mitzvos yola mitzvos yorid. That's the derech of the Gemara to understand it that way. All right, there's another approach in the whole Gemara by the Rabbeinu Chananel has, but not necessary to go into it right now. The Toras Chaim's Ha'ara is that why is it dafka by the morning time that we give you a little extra time in the morning, and by night time we don't give you any extra time? So he says, by morning, perhaps it's because we want people to at least be able to have Kriya Shema and Shachris, that mitzvah so manei tzachama, so that you're not going to be able to do because you're already traveling, but me'alos ha-shachar, it's still okay. So maybe to give time for Kriya Shema and Shachris, that the boss shouldn't demand that you're there as soon as the first ray of light comes, because then you're never going to have time to daven and say Kriya Shema. Anyway, we darshan this from the pasuk shenemar, because the pasuk says tizrach hashemesh ye osefun veelma unosam yirbatzun yetei adam lefalo v'lavodaso ade arev. So we darshan from there that in the evening when you go home from work, it's after it's already evening, but in the morning when you go to work, it's tizrach hashemesh, and then you first yasaf, and then you first gather toward the work site after the morning starts. So v'luchsi echinigi, says the Gemara, what do you mean? What are you talking about what people do in the morning at night? Just look at what the minhag is. In our Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? How early you come to work and how late you leave work all depends on the minhag. So just look at the minhag makom. Sanses Gemara bi'ir chadash. It's a brand new city. There's no minhag yet. So everything's new. So v'nichsi mehecha ka'asu. So says the Gemara, so why don't you look at where people came from? where are these people in this city, this new city, originally from, and you'll establish the minhag based on that. This is la halacha, by the way. The Rama writes in Choshen Mishpat that if you have to determine the minhag of a new place, a new shul, a new community, you go with where most of the people came from, what their minhag was. That's how you determine the new minhag. In fact, even if he says it's even if they didn't all come from the same place, if it's a majority, that's enough. Anyway, says the Gemara, but over here they couldn't do that b'nekutai, because there were people from all over the place. There were people that have such a variety of minhagim. Some people came from the north, some from the south, some from the east, west, from all different cities. So ibay seimadam luhuda grisule kapol daraisa. Or the conditions of the employment, as we saw in Tosfos and Rambam Aleph, if there's a specific tanai stipulated in the employment. So then you have to follow that tanai. So maybe over here we forget the minhag because there was a tanai. But what was the tanai? The tanai was, you should work for me like the Torah's way of understanding how long a workday should be. So we have to find a pasuk that indicates how long the workday is based on the Torah. But in a chinami, if there's a minhag and there's no such tanai in the employment, of course you would follow the minhag. Okay. Darish Rabbi Zeir Ravami Latani Rabbi Yosef. Maidichsiv Tashas Choshech Vihi Laila Bo Sirmos Kol Chaisu Ya'ar. What does it mean that you make the darkness and it will be night, and the all the beasts of the forest stir in it? So what's that pasuk referring to? Tashas Choshech Vihi Laila Zeha Olam Hazeh Shadoma Lalaila. That's a reference to Olam Hazeh, which is compared to nighttime. That's a reference to the Rishayim, who are similar to the beasts in the forest. Why are they similar to the beasts in the forest, says Rashi? That just like the beasts roam freely and do all sorts of crimes in the forest, so you'll see sometimes Rishayim who seem to be not facing justice. They seem to be going around freely, doing whatever they want, and sometimes, unfortunately, we see that Rishayim are able to get away with things. Tizrach Hashemesh Yasaf and Velmonasa Mirbatsun. So what does it mean that in their dens they crouch? What does that mean? Tizrach Hashemesh L'tzadikim. Tizrach Hashemesh means the sun is going to shine for tzadikim. Yasaf and Rishon L'Gehenim. And Yasaf means that the Rishon are all going to be gathered into Gehenim. Velmonasa Mirbatsun. Eluchol Chol Tzadik V'Tzadik Shein L'madu L'fi Kvodo. That ultimately every single tzadik is going to have a dwelling place that's L'fi Kvodo, that's appropriate for him based on his stature. The tzaddikim are going to go out to receive their schar. And that's referring to someone who completes his work until the day of his death. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, meaning someone who's Avodah, now referring to Avodah Hashem, we're still referring to the tzaddik. It's referring to the kind of tzaddik that up until the day of his death he remains a loyal servant to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, so now from the rest of the daf and tomorrow's daf, much of tomorrow's daf is story time. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ashkach Leupar Haguna. Rabbi Lazar, Bar Shimon saw a police officer. Right, Rashi says that someone who's a mamuna of the melech, someone who's appointed by the king to find criminals. So he found a police officer, the katafis ganvi, who was grabbing ganavim, who was arresting ganavim. Samalei hechi yachalta lehu lav kichiusa matili dechsev bo sir mos kol chai su yar. He says, I don't understand. How do you manage to overpower them? Aren't they like chayos of the forest? Meaning, doesn't the Torah consider them like chayos of the forest, that they're so difficult to overpower? So Ikadam Mehaikra Karmelai. Some say he said to him from the following pasuk, Yerav b'mistar ka'aryeh b'socho, that they lurk in hidden places like the lion in his lair. Meaning, bottom line is, how are you able to arrest these people? They're so smooth, they're so slick, they get out of things. Dilma shakalta tzadiki v'shafkat rishi. Maybe what you're really doing is, maybe the fact that you're able to arrest certain people and not others is because you're really getting the people who aren't the real criminals. Maybe you're actually ending up taking the tzadikim, and the real criminals are very slick and they're able to get out of things and they're able to overpower you, and they're the ones that are getting away with things. How do you know if you're really getting the right guys? Samalei, my yavid, Hirman of the Malko. He says, look, I got a quota. Right? I got to arrest a certain amount of people. King tells me to arrest people. I'm arresting people. I'm doing my best. What do you want me to do? You're right. Sometimes I'm going to arrest people that are not guilty. That's the nature of the beast. That's just the way it is. What do you want me to do about it? So Amar, so he said, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon tells him, Ta gamre chechi David, let me teach you how to be a policeman. Let me give you a lesson. Ol barba shay l'chanusa, go in the fourth hour of the day to the local eatery where people are having breakfast. When you see a guy drinking wine, pretty interesting, 4 hours into the day already, drinking wine, and he's holding the cup in his hand, and you see he's dozing off. He's so exhausted, he's dozing off. So that's already a siman. You have to know how to read that. That means that he was up all night last night. If he's dozing off already in the fourth hour into the day, it's not even like the 2-3 o'clock hour where he starts to get... No, this is 11 o'clock in the morning he's dozing off. So what's going on? So Shalali Lavei, you better start asking about him. Now the Ben Yoyada says, wait a second, you're going to paskin based on that. That's the raya that you have. But the guy's dozing off. And so he says, no, clearly, as we're going to see soon, the point is not to then automatically assume he's a ganav. The point is, that's the person you need to question. Meaning, don't waste your time questioning other people. First, you need to narrow down your the pool of candidates of who you're going to question. So that's something you're going to need to question. Now, he may have a perfectly rational explanation of why he's tired, and that's fine, then you let him go. But at least you need to start doing a drisha v'chakira on someone like that to find out what the cause is of his of his exhaustion. So anyway, if he's a tzur mirabanan and he's falling asleep, so it's obviously because he woke up very early for Coco Club. He woke up very early to learn a lot of Torah and to be able to be dedicated to his learning. If he's a poel, if he's a worker, so then he must have woken up early to go to work. Now notice the lashon by Tzurmi Rabban, it says akdume kadim. By the poel, it just says kadim. Right, so the diuk was not lost on the achronim. Taras Chaim says because the derech of the Tzurmi Rabban is to wake up extremely early. Even the poel, when he starts, what's early? Early means he would start when the first rays of light, right? He would start at daybreak or something like that, as opposed to taking that on the cheshbon of the balabayas. That would be early for a poel. But the Tzurmi Rabbanan wakes up when it's still dark outside, right? That's what the Gemara says, like by David HaMelech. That David HaMelech would have, the Gemara Bracha says, that he would have the harp hanging above his bed, and at midnight the wind would blow and would play music on the harp, and that was his alarm clock, and it would wake him up, and from midnight until the morning, he would sit and learn. He would learn the whole time. So it was a lot of nighttime hours that he was learning. So if he's Tzurmi Rabbanan, he woke up very, very early. V'avidita b'leile, redude radid, and if he worked at during the nighttime, redude radid, Rashi says, meaning you may wonder, why is it that this guy, if he's working at nighttime, how come you didn't hear noise coming from his house? You didn't see him working, you didn't hear noise coming from his house. So Rashi says, redude radid is some type of malacha that's a very quiet kind of malacha. So don't assume that it's a raya that he's lying to you that he works at night if just because you didn't hear noise coming from his house. It could be that he's involved in some type of very quiet kind of malacha. Vilo, but if he stammers and he doesn't really have any explanation for you, and he doesn't say that he's a worker, nor does he say that he's a tzurmi rabbanan, so ganvahu, then he's a ganav v'tafse, and then you should arrest him. So shtama milsa be malka, the malchus heard about Reb Lazar's idea. So amru kari nadigur sa'i lavi parvanka. He says, you're the one that came up with this idea? I want you to implement it. Who better than you to implement it? Very similar to what we find in Chumash. Yosef Atzadik comes up with a great idea. Paro says, okay, you came up with a great idea. You're the one that's going to implement it. Right, that's the expression. Karim Digger say you love Pravankar. Rav Shefta once told us a story. He said that they were making Shever Brachos in YU for one of the Rosh Yeshiva's children, and it was the last day of Shever Brachos, and the Chasson Kala came very late. And they were just going to wash, like right before Shkia or something, and they weren't going to bench till after Tseis, and it would have been after the last day. And they weren't sure, should they make the Shever Brachos or not? So one of the Rosh Yeshiva got up and said, I remember there's a tshuva in Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan that you still make the Shever Brachos. So Rabbi Lam got up and said, Kari Nadigra Sayu Lavi Parvanka, we're not risking a Brachla Vatala, you say all seven of the Shever Brachos. You're the one that remembers the tshuva, you're going to say all seven. Rosh Hashanah, they went home and they all looked up the tshuva, and he said the exact opposite. So that's why, that's the svara for Kari Nadigra Sayu Lavi Parvanka. You want the guy who's going to take it on his shoulders, good. So you're so sure that you're right, so you take it on your own shoulders. So Asyul Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Vakatavas Gan Vivazel. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon became the chief of police. He was the guy who was in charge of taking the ganavim, of arresting the ganavim. Now this is a major issue over here. The Rishonim already deal with how is that mutter? Meaning the non-Jewish government kills ganavim. So he's arresting people, and we don't hold in Judaism, Torah does not hold that you killed someone for being a ganav. So how could it be that they're allowed to do that? They're allowed to, that he's allowed to arrest ganavim and hand them over to the non-Jewish government to get killed. So the Rishonim, the Rashba writes in the Tshuva, very famously, the Rivash, point out that the Torah law, when it comes to the level of punishment we give, is not a ceiling, it's a floor. It's a bare minimum. But if the Rabbanim or the leaders of the generation at any in any generation see that in order to maintain peace and in order to maintain a proper functioning society, we need to do more than that, so then they can do more than that. They can whip people, they can kill people, they can do more than that. They're allowed to. And we have numerous examples in Shas of Amoraim doing this. This is one of those examples where we find Shimon ben Shetach was tola shmonim nashim ba'ashkelon b'yom echad. He hanged 80 women in Ashkelon in one day, the Gemara says, in Sanhedrin daf memhei. Right? What's the idea? Again, the idea is that it was also siag l'Torah. It was in order to make sure that things run properly, and that's permissible. The Rashba also writes in... The Rashba also writes in a tshuva that also perhaps because of Din of the Malchusa and Hamelch B'mishpat Yamid Aretz, there is Koach B'yado to punish the Poshim, that if it were not for the Mara of the Malchus, we need the Din of the Malchusa. Din is an important thing. We need the Melech to make his Dinim. So the Dinim are always going to align with Dinei Torah, but we still have to abide by those dinim, because those dinim are a very important thing for the functioning of society. The most interesting answer I saw, though, was the Eine Yitzchak, which is printed on in the Ein Yaakov. So the Eine Yitzchak suggests that since we know that the Goyim are extremely machmir about the crime of Geneva, and when they find a Ganav, they kill a Ganav, because they're very machmir, it's a very serious thing by them. So if a Jew is known to be a Ganav, what's it going to do to the relationship between the non-Jews and the Jews? It's going to cause tremendous anti-Semitism. It's going to cause hatred for all the Jews in the entire Malchus. It's going to cause all sorts of sinna, and it's going to be a terrible Chilul Hashem. So he says the Jew who steals now has a din of a rodef, because he's causing all sorts of horrible anti-Semitism, and who knows what that could lead to, right? We know that we just saw this past year after the whole Madoff thing, the rise of anti-Semitism in this country on the internet, whatever. It's there, it's real. So he's a rodef. So says the Eine Yitzchak, he was Chayiv Misa. He had every right to hand these guys over to be killed because they're rodfim. They're wrote from the entire Jewish community. Anyway, Shalach Rebbe Yishuv ben Karcha, Chometz ben Yayin, and Masayat Tamosa Amoshal Elokeinu La'Riga. Not everyone agreed with what Rebbe Lezer was doing. Rebbe Yishuv ben Karcha sent him a letter. He says, "You, vinegar, the son of wine, how long are you going to give over Jewish people to get killed? Why are you allowed to do that? Why are you giving over Jewish people to get killed?" The phrase, vinegar, the son of wine, the Gemara uses it in Maseches Chulin when it describes how long you're supposed to wait between eating fleishig and eating milchigs. So it says, "Anach Hamra ben Chala ben Chamra." One of the Amoraim said, "I'm like vinegar, the son of wine, compared to my father, because my father would wait 24 hours in between after eating flesh and before eating milchik. And I only wait misuda l'suda." And that's the source of our halacha, that we wait, whatever it is, 6 hours, roughly, because that's suda l'suda. That's what we assume is from one meal to another. But you see, the implication of vinegar, the son of wine, is that I'm not living up to the standards, to the higher standards set by the people who came before me, set by my father. So he said to him, "Look, you're vinegar, the son of wine. Why are you giving over these people that are killed?" So Shalach Lei Kotzmani Mechalim in Akerim. He said, "I'm just removing the thorns from the vineyard." So the Marsha explains, Dafka, why does he pick Kotzim of all things to pick? Why does he pick thorns to be Mechalim, that he describes that he's being Mechalim in Akerim? So the Marsha says very beautifully. The Marsha says that Lufi Shekaru Chometz Ben Yayin, you called me vinegar, the son of wine, meaning you're saying that my vineyard is spoiled. Well, in a vineyard, carrying the mashal one step further, in a vineyard, what ruins the grapes? It's the thorns. You have to dethorn the vineyard in order to make sure that the grapes stay in good shape. So he says, following your mashal one step further, I want to be wine. I want to be like my father. So I have to remove all the negative influences, all the negative things that we find in our community. So that's why I'm getting rid of them. Shalach Lei, so he sent back to him, Yavo Bala Kerem Yichles Kotzav. It's not not your job. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam take care of his own vineyard. Yom Echad Pagabehu Koves. One day he saw a dry cleaner. Karya Chometz Ben Yain. And the Koves. It's one thing for Bishua to call him Chometz Ben Yain. But the dry cleaner started calling him Chometz Ben Yain. Amr Midchatzav Kolei Ashramin Arishiyahu. He says, if he has such chutzpah, the guy must be a Rasha. Amr Lu Tafsus. They said, arrest him. So Tafsu, he told his officers, arrest him. So they did. Lebasar Dinach Daite Azal Basre Lepruke. After a while, he felt bad because, after all, he only arrested him because he called him vinegar. So he felt bad. He wanted to go get him out of jail. V'lomati was too late. Kariyale shomer pivul shona shomer mitzaros nafsho. You have to watch what you say if you want to save yourself. Zakfu, and the guy was actually hanged. So come to say Zakifa. Sir Blazer stood under the gallows v'kabachi, and he was crying. Amrle Rebbe, the talmidim told him, Rebbe, don't worry about it. Al yerebe nachashu bno baal unara marasa biyom kippurim. He and his son were both baal unara marasa on Yom Kippur. So Rav Elazar puts his hand on his stomach, va'amru, and he says, "Sisu b'nei may I sisu." Wow, we should rejoice. My gut had it right. Umasveko shalachem kach v'adol shalachem alachas kama v'kama muvtach ani b'chem shein rima v'tolaa shalatas b'chem. If even when you're not sure about things, you're so right. Can you imagine when you are sure about things? Rashi points out the guy was hanged because the Gemara says that even though arba misos are batal, din arba misos la batlu, and if someone is chayiv misa b'skila, afterwards they get hanged. So this guy was hanged because he was chayv misav skila of being Boel, anara marasa. Okay, we'll finish the story tomorrow.